So let's just go to the bill and forget about the headlines now, and let's just see what the bill says. So this is Bill C-63. It's in the Canadian House of Commons, and it enacts what's called an Online Harms Act. It also amends the Criminal Code and the Canadian Human Rights Act. So it's really making some big moves in Canada. And you can go in there, and it actually defines hatred. So you have a human emotion now that's trying to be legislated and controlled by the government. It says hatred means the emotion that involves detestation or vilification, and that is stronger than disdain or dislike. So,
Wow.
instead of just trying to
That's
work
clear. Got
through,
it. Got it. Understood. Know exactly
right,
where to bull that one.
instead of trying to just work through this with
Yeah.
conversation, with open dialogue, the government's going to step in and say, we're going to tell you how to deal with that emotion. And so let's go further into this bill here. Then it has pre-crime in there, written in there. So this is the actual language. It says fear of hate propaganda offense or hate crime. And it says a person may, with the Attorney General's consent, lay an information before a provincial court judge if the person fears on reasonable grounds that any person will commit, and then it goes on to say these hateful offenses. So if a person believes that someone may do something but hasn't done it yet, they can start a case. And then it goes on from there. And this is just a couple more things. It allows someone to make a complaint of a discrimination anonymously. So you don't get to know who's
Wow.
accusing you. And if found legit, if that hateful complaint is found legit, a maximum of $20,000 goes to that person. You can imagine how that's going to be abused. And then $50,000 can
Wait,
go
to
to
the
the
snitch?
Canadian.
The snitch gets 20 grand for turning
Snitch gets
somebody in
20K.
for potentially being hateful?
Absolutely.
Wow.
And the Canadian government up to 50K. So there's 70,000 that is on the line there for an anonymous, whistleblower or snitch or whatever you want to call them. But more importantly, so we have the individuals that will abuse the system on this. It's written right in their bill. You can see how this can happen. But you have a government there, namely a leader there, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who seems to throw around these words in situations that they do not apply. Namely, when the truckers were protesting the vaccine mandates, the vaccine passports, the ones that didn't stop transmission. This was the headline. Trudeau accuses Canada truckers of hate, abuse, and racism as he tests positive for COVID after evacuation. You go in this article, it says Canadian Prime Minister blasted a convoy of truckers protesting vaccine mandates as showing disrespect to science and championing hate, abuse, and racism hours after announcing he had tested positive for COVID-19. I mean, so much wrong with that right there, but you can see
Wow.
the lining up. It's already happening. So imagine if this C-63 bill was already implemented and being used, if
Right.
those wheels were greased, you have to wonder, Trudeau would
Assembling
not
and
just.
saying, I don't want that vaccine that just failed you, Prime Minister. I don't believe it works. Well, that's now a hate crime because the Prime Minister that's now sick has decided that you're full of hate. In being against the vaccine, sure looked hateful, all those people dancing in the streets. I mean, it's really, you don't even have to use your imagination. This is really totally out of control. It's so dangerous. And I was just up in Canada speaking to people up there. They're really terrified of the way that they were treated during that. They shut down bank accounts, as we all now know. And now you have a bill coming out of that saying, not only do we feel like we're justified in the future, we want to throw you in jail for life if you ever attempt to speak out against the government again and anything we want, any product we want to force on you. And folks, what you really have to look at here is, this isn't just happening, in some sort of like in the middle of Russia or North Korea. This is happening in essentially democratic nations or at least socialist nations.
What is going on in Canada? As you just heard, they have a bill in Parliament that says anyone who criticizes a government policy, such as vaccine mandates, even if they had good scientific reasons to reject the experimental shots, could be construed as spouting hate speech and thrown into jail for it in Canada? I mean, this sounds very strange. It really does. And prior to the COVID mess, unimaginable in a first world free country like Canada. Well, folks, welcome to the FLCCC Weekly Update. I'm Betsy Ashton, creative director of this Alliance of Medical Professionals and their supporters. We are looking north tonight, and we have two Canadian superstars with us to share their viewpoints about all that is going on. Theo Fleury is a hockey legend in Canada, and Jamie Salé is a giant in figure skating, both superstars there. Both were adored in the country until they decided to speak out during COVID. Now they are being vilified in the Toronto Star and in other mainstream media because of their views. In 2020, they started their own nonprofit, Canadians for Truth. And, you know, they believe that during and since the COVID response, Canada strayed from its core values and principles. They founded the nonprofit when it became evident to them that media and government were suppressing important health-related information and other information. So our Dr. Pierre Corey is going to dig into all of this with Theo and Jamie. Our RN, Samantha Hanks, is already online to answer any questions you have about health and, you know, and whatever that you want to type into Q&A for her. I will be back with some of the questions that you have for Pierre and or our Canadian stars after they've had a good discussion. So Theo and Jamie, welcome to our weekly update. And Pierre, take it away.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Theo and Jamie, thanks for joining us tonight. As you guys know, we hit it off when we met in DC. I think we knew of each other, and it was so great to be on the same stage. And, you know, we gave talks at that symposium, and I immediately said, please come on our webinar, because hearing your stories and what you guys have done, I mean, we're brothers and sisters here, right? Mm-hmm. Clearly. And the problem is, before I got into COVID, I was a nobody. You guys were celebrities before COVID. And that means you ran through the gauntlet more than anyone. And I just want to talk tonight.
Oh, we lost you. We can't.
I want you guys tell your stories, what it was like for you as actually public. Love your organization. It's so cool. Yes. That, you know, what is it? Canadians for Truth? Right. And I love the principles on it. I looked at the website, and, you know, we're all fighting for truth. And so I just appreciate what you guys have done. And I want you to tell our audience what you've been through, what you've, the headwinds you've gone against. We've all gone against headwinds for truth. And, I'm trying to think, actually, you know, I'm going to do this. This is silly. Theo, forgive me. This is the most cliched thing I can say about you. And I told you this when we hung out in DC, but I'm just going to tell the audience, but I was not a video game player. I was not like a gamer, but there was a point in my life in my early 20s. I was born in 1970. After college, I lived at home with my older brother, who was also living at home. And for some reason, we were playing video games every night when we'd come home from work, and we played NHL 94. And I just have to say, yes. Theo Fleury was my assassin. I literally killed my brother with Theo Fleury on NHL. And you've heard.
Yes. I've heard this story many, many times. So, you know,
I've heard this hundreds and hundreds of times. And Jamie, you were not an idol because I didn't play figure skating video games. I'm sorry.
No, we don't have them. It's okay. It's okay. There's a weird delay a little bit here. And then, yeah, Theo, did you hear that? Sorry about that.
Yeah, I got it. I got it. Yeah.
Anyway, no, you're not going to play figure skating video games. And they need to make one maybe where you could be the pair skater.
You can. Yes.
Yeah.
Theo, though, just so you know, a lot of your audience wouldn't know that up in Canada, we used to have a show called Battle of the Blades. Excuse me. And this was a really fun show because we took hockey players and we taught them figure skating. And then we created a show where they actually learned figure skating routines. And we performed once a week and we were judged. And then we got whoever got to the very end, the finale, did a skate off for the championship. And so Theo and I actually did battle the blades together. It was fun.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. And we both won our gold medals at the same Olympics in 2002 in Salt Lake City. So that's where I first got to know Jamie, and then got to know her even better doing Battle of the Blades. And then once all this craziness happened, Jamie contacted me one day out of the blue, and I hadn't heard from her for probably about a year and a half. And she said to me, "Theo, are you awake?" And I said, "I am fully awake. I am here to listen, and whatever you need moving forward."
Theo, when was this?
Okay, so my story is, so I work in the field of trauma, mental health, and addiction, okay? And I've been in that space for 16 years, done 900 speeches all over North America, talking about how trauma, mental health, and addiction are all connected, right? And so before COVID, I was traveling somewhere once a week to give a speech or a talk or a workshop or whatever. And then COVID hit, and I would probably say about 2 weeks into COVID and the lockdowns and the mask wearing and everything, I fell into a very deep, dark, ugly depression. Okay. And I'm a guy that's spent $1 million on therapy. I've done every kind of therapy known to mankind. And here I was. I stopped eating, stopped showering, stopped sleeping, could barely get to the washroom. I was having suicidal ideation.
Theo, I'm a physician. That's really sick. Oh, that's how impaired you were?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And this is just 2 weeks into COVID or 3 weeks into COVID?
2 weeks into COVID.
A lockdown.
This was your response to what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were locked down like you guys, I believe. It was stay home, 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Yeah. And, you know, my speaking business is what, you know, provides my living. And so, you know, there was some fear attached to that too, and, you know, all that. So I book an appointment with my therapist, and obviously it's online because I can't go see her in person. And I start explaining to her what's going on. And as soon as I was done my explanation, she goes, you know, you're reliving all of your old sexual abuse stuff. And I'll preface it. So when I was a phenom hockey player growing up in small town Canada, I got discovered by this coach who basically promised me a one-way ticket to the NHL if I followed him, and, you know, he guided me, whatever. And so over a 2.5 year period, this guy raped me 150 times over a 2.5 year period. And so what did my pedophile abuser use to get me to do what he wanted me to do? Manipulation, coercion, lying, stealing, cheating. Uh-huh. What was the government doing? Manipulation, coercion, lying, stealing, cheating. So I was reliving all of that old abuse. And, you know, that's the psychological piece, because we're in a psychological and spiritual warfare, right? So that's the psychological piece that nobody's putting the puzzle together, right? Because what did we see happen at the beginning of COVID? We saw a spike in opioid use. We saw a spike in mental illness. We saw a spike in suicidal ideation. And then ultimately, people were taking their own lives. And so because I was sitting on my ass at home doing nothing, I got invited to do, you know, other people's podcasts. So I was explaining my depression and what happened to me. And then right after it started hitting the airwaves, my phone blew up. And people from all over the world were contacting me and saying, "Thank you, Theo, for explaining my depression, because I was in the same place as you, and I had no idea why I was going through all of these old behaviors again."
Wow. Wow.
And so that was, you know, that was my experience. And then, you know, because I have a pretty extensive toolbox of tools to be able to deal with, you know, my mental illness and addiction stuff and all that, You know, I dove headfirst back into healing because, you know, what God was telling me was that my healing wasn't finished and I needed to do more healing. And so for the last 4 years, I guess the best thing that's come out of COVID is that, you know, I've been on this incredible healing spiritual journey for the last 4 years. And, you know, I get to meet people like you and, you know, all the people we met in Washington, all the freedom fighters in Canada. You know, it's been ugly, but it's been rewarding at the same time, if I can say that, you know, because it's truly been a blessing because I needed to finish some healing that I sort of neglected and thought I was doing okay. And so, you know, to me, that's the gift
Theo,
that's come out.
Theo, maybe you were doing okay, but you had additional trauma.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Even though you're, you know, you've been working on that and protecting yourself and healing yourself, you don't always need know how to deal with additional trauma. And I appreciate that you say that we've all been through this. I like that you that's an interesting analogy of that, the manipulation, the deceit, the lying, and you saw the same thing and now you experienced another trauma.
Yeah.
And you responded and people connected around the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was,
so Jamie, how did COVID start for you and what was your journey like?
It wasn't like Theo's in that I don't have the past trauma like him. I know we all have some kind of trauma from our childhood or, you know, adolescent years, but it was very different in that I was not asleep. I was married at the time to a more liberal thinking person who watched constant negative news. You know, the acronym for that, CNN. Yep. On all the time. And he was a Trump hater. And it was like, I sure hope this Biden gets in. And so because when you have these kind of thinkers, then you're more leaning towards like being a complier. So we were doing the lockdowns. I was wearing my mask at the beginning, and it was probably the end of 2020 when I was like, this is wrong. We're heading into our third lockdown here. I think it was, Theo, something like that. Anyway, it was Christmas, coming up to Christmas, and you can't have your family. You're only allowed to have so many people. I mean, it was insane to me at this point. I'm like, what? How did they even come up with these numbers? And 6 feet apart and like the grocery store. I started walking the opposite direction they were telling me to go because I just had to go against the grain. And then it was January of 2021 where a girlfriend of mine from Al East sent me this, she sent me a graph that she had found on alternative news. And it was a graph of Sweden who wasn't following really the mandates. And my graph was on regular news and it was showing that they were doing horrible. And she's like, yeah, no, they're not. You're being lied to. So I right away went, okay, I knew something was up. Share with me more. Well, then the floodgates opened. Like I was drinking through a fire hose. I was mortified, but yet not shocked at the same time. Like my body was kind of reacting to like all these lies and or truths that were watching people like you, the doctors like you that were speaking out. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there numb, but then I was like, I've always known this as an athlete. They make shit up all the time about us. And that's been the hardest part being an athlete is that, you know, you do this interview, even sometimes live, and then somehow with the narrative before or after, they've managed to sort of like manipulate the interview to make it sound a little differently. And so I've always known that the media is not necessarily on our side and that they make stuff up. So I was like, here we go. So then I reached out to Theo because she said, Theo's speaking out. So I reached out to him and I was like, this is crazy. And then he told me his story. And it took me a while to start speaking out. It was when the trucker convoy came through my city here in Edmonton, Alberta. And I was crying for weeks. Like I was so grateful because at that point here in Canada, we just all felt like, what are we going to do?
Jamie, I don't want to interrupt, but I just want to tell you that, and I think I'm speaking for a lot of people, like for you guys in Canada, that must have been so uplifting, so like stimulating. But even us here in the States, I mean, I was like,
go, truckers, yeah. Man. I was obsessed with it. I was like, finally, we have the people, you know.
Yeah.
Resisting, and I don't want to take the same, and the problem is, and I was heavily involved with the Freedom Convoy here, but it good. Happened the same week that the Ukraine war broke out, and we don't have to go into all the crazy, but literally, and we were obliterated from media, and tell us about that. Was how was the convoy treated in media in Canada?
Because they were a terrorist group, and if you supported them, you were not only a terrorist supporter, but you were not.
Were they white supremacists?
Oh yeah, oh yeah,
yeah. Anti-vaxxers, right from... white supremacists, radical right,
yeah,
fringe, quack, oh, whatever.
Came right from our.
By the way,
came right from our prime minister's mouth, out of his mouth, that we were, and you got to understand, Doc, that in Canada. Like, we're patriotic, but not like you guys.
Yeah.
Like, you guys wear it on your sleeve. We sort of keep it tight to our hearts. And to me, it was the greatest act of patriotism I'd ever, you know, witnessed in my whole life. And I played for Canada 10 times in my career. I played in 2 Olympic Games and, you know, World Junior Championships and all that. And this was like 100 acts of that. You know, and you know, I'm a big tough hockey player, and I was ugly crying on my couch, you know, watching this happen.
Mm-hmm. Theo, I was just like cheering from my desk. I was just like, yes, baby, someone standing up and doing something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was incredible. And you know, the guy who started Canadians for Truth, a guy named Joseph Borgo, was at the convoy. And he was one of the guys who, when he got to Ottawa, saw that it was a bit disorganized. And so I think he bought 50 hotel rooms, a bunch of boardrooms, and got all the trucker captains together and made sure that it remained a peaceful protest. Mm-hmm. And so, he was one of the guys there that he was organizing and leading, you know, the convoy. So it was great.
And the real images were so beautiful. It's like families and kids and truckers who, and by the way, truckers, I'm just going to point this out. From what I know, they don't make a lot of money. And if they're not on the road hauling freight, they're losing money. They're literally, these people that talk about blue collar, they're lower end of blue collar, and they were sacrificing their earnings, their income, their living in community. I knew that, and I saw the sacrifices they were making. And remembers that.
Yeah, well, it'll be in school books, or the children will be learning about this that weren't able to be a part of it. And that's the sad thing, is how many people really missed out on how incredible that was. There were a lot of truckers, just so your audience knows, that were actually jabbed. This was not an anti-vax protest.
Yep.
No.
This was, we're losing our rights and we are not okay with this. And I thought it was so brilliant. You know, like you said, Doc, the pictures of the trucks, like being so masculine and big. And it, like, to me, there was no better way to make a statement. And they weren't going there to remove the government. They were just going there to get even our, whatever you want to call this guy.
They just wanted the mandates lifted. That's it.
They wanted that, but they want, and they wanted him to talk. Like, let's have a conversation here. And he ran away. He ran.
Yeah, he didn't want to face that. I mean, honesty, salt of the earth, people who want their freedoms, want to live their lives, and they're trying to impose this totalitarian
system. And then, because the truckers were so peaceful and their narrative was failing, they decided to invoke the Emergencies Act, which ended up being two gentlemen went after the government and sued them for this, for invoking it, because it was wrong, and they won. And now it has been ruled as unconstitutional. But wait,
Jamie, let me ask you about that, because I know about what you just said, but like, what are the real implications? So like, is history going to forget this, that they invoked the Emergency Powers Act illegally,
And they literally, I mean, they hurt people. I mean, we didn't talk about the,
they did.
I don't know, the horses riding through and yep. trampling people. And
he beat like, people.
Is anyone going to be held accountable? Beat.
People got beat there too. So, yeah. you know, it got out of hand quickly, but you know, Trudeau had no choice because he was like we're going down a road of communism, fascism, and Marxism. Okay. And so we know that Trudeau is compromised and is blackmailed to the maximum. And so he has no other choice than to continue down this path and continue down this road. So when the truckers showed up, like he shit his pants and he ran away. Right. And not only that, the truckers showed up with $20 million in the bank account. Ah. So they became the official opposition party in Canada. The truckers did, because there's no political party in Canada that has raised $20 million in 2 weeks. And so they were panicked. The government was panicked and they go, we got to shut this down as quickly as we can, because we can't have this.
And so
that's what happened. He had to invoke the Emergencies Act to get these people off the streets, because the truckers were willing to stay there until all the mandates were lifted. Everything was, you know, they were fully prepared to do that. So, yeah.
But let's be clear here, Theo. As terrible, I you know, when I look at COVID, and again, I'm not deeply expert in all of the countries around the world, but my general sense in watching everything that's happening with COVID, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, off the rails.
Yeah.
Everyone else slightly less off the rails, meaning completely losing common sense, violating, you know, personal autonomy, freedoms, constitutional principles. I mean, yeah. Canada was absolutely nuts. I mean, a calm, democratic, genial country suddenly attacking their citizens like this.
There's never been democracy in any country who has to answer to the king and the queen of England. There's never been democracy.
That's probably right.
That's why we need a constitutional republic, just like you guys have in the United States. We need to get, like, we need to blow up our government and start over.
But yeah. Theo, we have ignored our constitutional principles. I mean, you know, these are rules on paper that I thought we abided by, that we had a contract to in society.
Right.
And suddenly, overnight?
Mm-hmm. Well, we fell asleep at the wheel, all of us, globally. Yeah. And that's the thing, like, we got to learn to take social responsibility. It's not our fault. It's been a generational thing. It's been a long time where they've slowly just infiltrated and taken over things. And we all just, as generations went on, we just sort of accepted these changes, right? Like, they made it sound like all these things were good for us. Like they did during COVID. It's for the greater good. It's for the good.
And you guys, you know, again, I don't want to be like sensational stuff, because obviously you guys, I'm sorry, I'm just going to call it, you guys were celebrities before COVID, but, just like physicians in COVID, like literally I see 1% of whatever community you're part of who stood up and stood out. And, you know, Theo, you were like one of the most celebrated hockey players in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie, you were like, you know, one of the most adored and celebrated figure skaters in Canada. And for your opinions, because you kind of did this in DC, and I want you to do this for our audience, but can you just tell us about like what happened to you? Because I was a nobody before COVID. I came out with contrarian opinions. My career got destroyed. I've lost 3 jobs. Now, I got to tell you, I've actually fared pretty well, because myself and my partner, Paul Marek, we built an organization that had a global support and outreach. And I think we had major impact. So like I found another kind of, I don't know, living or like purpose. Yeah. I have a lot of doctors that I know, they've lost their licenses, you know, been persecuted, incomes destroyed. What happened to you guys? Jamie, you want to tell us yours? Because I love your, you know, the way you told your story was really emotional in DC.
Oh, yeah, I get emotional. I'm just, because like so many that are listening right now and that are following you and all of us, we all went through a lot and everybody's story is different, but quite similar. So yeah, like you said, I was by the media, even like we talked in Washington about cancel culture. So like in the media, I was considered, you know, a Canada's ice princess. And I'd been on the cover of many magazines like Time Magazine, Newsweek, being an Olympic gold medalist. And I had major sponsors. So we had like, I was the face of many big products. But then once I started speaking out, I right away was considered, you know, a white supremacist, a bigot, a terrorist supporter. Excuse me, I'm forgetting some names, but I mean, there was like six on the list, at least, that I was named in actual articles. And I just couldn't believe what I was witnessing. I mean, I started speaking out, as I said to you, when I saw the trucker convoy. But I want to preface that as an athlete, Theo was different. Hockey's different. You guys get away a little bit more, but they still will hammer athletes for having opinions about anything. Like if you speak out about politics, you know, they're like, oh, did you see so-and-so's comment? Like, and then they'll get attacked. Right. So I always stayed quiet. I never said anything because my opinion doesn't matter. And I never wanted to be hated. I always cared about what people thought of me. So when I saw this trucker convoy, I just started posting some pictures on Facebook and Twitter, and holy shiza, did I ever get like annihilated, like immediately. It didn't even take long before I had everyone telling me I should have all my medals taken away and what an embarrassment to Canada I am. And not even like trolls, like people that genuinely followed me and supported me, that they
some
like
of I of your own teammates.
Some of my old teammates.
Teammates. And,
well, teammates in that some of the ones that were coming at me were coming at me when I started speaking out against the trans stuff. Like, how dare I, when, you know, I'm dealing with in figure skating, there's lots of gay people. And I said, when have I been homophobic? Like, this isn't being homophobic. I'm actually speaking out because we need to know what's going on in our children's schools and leave the kids alone. And I'm like now this horrible human for standing up for our rights about what our kids are learning in school. Like, it has been like mind blowing. I don't want to say stupidity, but just like how people so can't see what is really going on, or even take a minute to ask questions and say, hey, like, tell me more. Right. Like, and so the hit pieces just came in on me. Like Betsy said at the beginning, I had the Toronto Star do a hit piece on me. I've had local radio stations. I've had radio guys talk about, like, it's just been unbelievable. And I said to Theo, like, how do you do this? Because he's used to it. And he goes, Jamie, it's this or we die. Like, we're either all in or we're not in at all. And we get taken over and our kids aren't going to have a future. And it was just like, okay. But I said, I don't think I can handle this. Like, I couldn't handle it. But then all of a sudden, my social media platforms started growing and growing and growing. And so I was like, well, clearly there's more people on our side than not, right?
Yes.
So I learned to kind of ignore the haters. They're still there. But yeah, that was sort of my story. But that's the gift, like Theo said, the gift
Jamie, what you just said is interesting because that parallels mine and I never thought of it in that way. Like, I don't think I ever tweeted before COVID.
I
never sent out a tweet. It was after I gave my testimony and that got some public recognition. And then I started tweeting gently a little bit. I didn't like tweet. I actually hated tweeting. I was like, wait, I'm going to put out an opinion that's going to be heard by millions.
Yeah.
like that's weird. Like, I just want to keep my opinions with my friends and my family, but you get used to it. But it's true. The support and the amount of followers and people that they wanted to hear, they want to hear what you were thinking, what you're doing, what it was like.
Yeah.
And I just kept putting out my thoughts and it seemed to be, you're right. There was a lot of followers, but you saw lots of attacks and hate speech. You just said something, Jamie, towards Theo, which is you said, Theo, you're used to this. Now, why was Theo used to this?
Well, when you're one of the most hated hockey players on the planet.
Why? Oh, because of your whistle blowing in a way, or.
Well, even before.
That and the way that I played, right? Like, every visiting rink I went into, the fans wanted to kill me. Like, they hated me because I was so good. Right? Ah. Right? So I was used to, you know, fans hanging over the glass and yelling and screaming and doing all that stuff. So I was, you know.
He was a bit of a shit disturber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was. But, you know, for me, you know, I was carrying a secret around for 27 years of my life. Okay. And that secret almost killed me because I had a fully loaded pistol in my mouth about 19 years ago, ready to pull the trigger and end my life. Not because I wanted to die, but because I was exhausted from living in emotional pain and suffering, right? And so in 2009, when I wrote my book and told my truth, that's when the world really just opened up for me. And I was no longer living a lie, right? I was actually standing in my truth for the first time in my life. And then realizing that because I'm now an expert in trauma, is who do you think the biggest perpetrators of trauma are on the planet? Government. Government, like without a doubt, government is the biggest perpetrator of causing trauma in people on the planet. And so after I came out with my story, I said, if I saw trauma ever again in my life, like I'm going to stand up and speak out about it. And what the government was doing, it was abusing its citizens, like abusing them to no end. And then not only they were hurting them, and some people were dying from the vaccine, and you know, you name it. And I was just like, I can't stand here and not say anything. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's why I've been standing my truth the whole time. And I don't care what people think about me or say about me, because I'm standing in my truth.
Yeah, I had to learn that. Theo, you were good at, you taught me that, and our team taught me that. Like, yeah. Doc, that was really hard on me because as a figure skater, you can imagine the different, oh, he's gone now. Should I keep talking?
Yeah, keep talking. We're live, so.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely. We're all listening. Keep going.
Awesome. Okay.
I'm still here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, yeah, I'm trying to fix my audio.
Yeah, we lose you.
We lost you again.
Yeah. Okay, we're back. Yeah. So as a figure skater, it's so crazy how different these sports are. And so you've got polar opposites in that, like, Theo wasn't in a sport really. I know it was about winning the crowd, but it wasn't about like how you looked and your appearance and how people perceived you. Like, they didn't care, you know? And so that I was envious of, because in figure skating, it was all about that for us, and maybe more for me. I'll speak for myself. So when I started speaking out and I started getting this hate, I was like, I'm a good person. I just see this and you're not able to see it. Like, why do you have to hate me so bad? Like, and then I just was like, what is happening? But Theo brought up a really good point earlier today. We were talking and he said, go back to Germany with the Nazis, right? With Hitler, and how he convinced the Germans to literally call out all the Jews, right? Or at least this is the story we've been told about this, right? And how they all got convinced to be this way. And we watched it during COVID. Like, my own social circle turned against me. And I said to my own family, I said, like, would you guys actually, if they said, if you know anyone unvaccinated right now, you better turn them in. I said, you guys would likely turn me in. I feel like that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Jamie, my this is just, I'm trying to be humorous here, but like, when I first became, and I hate to say this because you guys are public figures, but I did become somewhat publicly known.
Oh yeah.
But I
oh no,
us two again.
I would, you know, I saw, and then I would read it and I'd be like, that guy's an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I would read these things about me in the media that were just so terrible. I was like, he sounds like the least credible, the worst physician ever. And I'm like, but it's me. I'm a good doctor. Yeah. I've been celebrated as a good doctor. And suddenly I'm nobody. It's really,
It's a little bit clownish, to be honest. But
that's what happens when you promote horse paste.
Say it again.
That's what happens when you promote horse paste, don't you know?
That's right.
Yeah, it's not a good business to be promoting horse paste. I found that out, you know, retrospectively. Anyway,
oh my goodness. Oh, how dare you.
You know, if you don't have a thick skin, you're not gonna make it in this, you know.
Theo, you have a thick skin. And here's the thing. I didn't originally for a short time because I was like, I really got hurt
by
the things that I was reading about me. But it didn't really take long, to be honest, to be like, this is nonsense. Like, I'm the same guy who I am. I'm living the same life. I really do believe I live according to principles of honesty and integrity and empathy and love. Mm-hmm. And like, I know I'm not a bad guy. Yes, I have faults. I have tempers. Like, by the way, that's probably why I'm a public figure, because I hit hard. I get really pissed off about things. Yeah. But like, I'm not a criminal.
You gotta remember, you know, like I've been to communist countries before. I played hockey in communist countries.
Yeah, we both skated there. Yeah.
You know? And I realized that, you know, communism is full of cowards, right? They hide behind, you know, they hide behind laws, they hide behind military, they hide, but the person who's actually forcing the communism on people is probably the biggest coward there is, because they won't debate, they won't put themselves out there, they won't debate, nothing. And so, you know, and it was guys like you, Doc, when I first saw you speaking, talking about ivermectin, it just made me even more convicted in standing in my truth and going, you know what? You people are wrong. This guy is a published, you know, doctor, and I'm going to listen to you because you have everything to lose.
And
you're willing, and you were willing to lose it all. And those are the people that I won Stanley Cups with, that I won Olympic gold medals with, were those kind of people with that kind of character and integrity. That's the kind of people we won with.
I'm like a Stanley Cup winner.
You are.
But here's the thing I want to say.
In the world of
doctors,
about that, you should have a Stanley Cup ring.
I love that. But Theo, here's what I want to say about what you just said, is that what nobody recognizes is that for me to come out in public as a physician who's been deeply studied throughout my career, who teaches doctors over decades, like I'm literally an educator. If I'm going to go out in public and say that a medicine is effective, I'm going to have my data behind me. That's not just like a sensationalist cavalier, like, hey, try this for a like, that's not who I am. It's not who I've ever been. Anyone who's trained under me, with me, who's trained me, knows I'm a serious guy. And like, when I came out with this inconvenient opinion, I was suddenly just relegated and attacked as this fringe quack, whatever. And it was really sad to me, because like, I'm like, I did what I've always done in my career, which is to study deeply. When I find something important that's impactful to help a patient, I teach it, I pass it on. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, truth and honesty and integrity and professionalism and expertise, you know, like all of the other things we talked about, boom, gone.
Well, this is what happened. When we started speaking out, obviously we were sharing content like yours, right? And Dr. Malone's and Dr. Martin's and you name them, Christian Northrup, like all of them.
Edward Dowd.
Everybody that was pretty much we met in Washington and some others, right? And Dr. Simone Gold. And anyway, and literally like my old social circle or even my family would say, oh, well, they're right-wing conspiracy theorists. I'm like, okay, so they just woke up one day and decided to go crazy and like put everything on the line and lose everything they've ever
destroy their careers on like, purpose.
How are you? And so I would ask questions like, why do you think they're being censored like this? And because I'd show them, I'd actually show some of my family and friends, like, look what's happening. They're getting censored. They're getting canceled. Look at their Wikipedia page now. It's been changed, whatever. And you know what the answer would be often? Well, it's to protect us so that we don't get false information. Like, this is what they were told, and they just believed this. Like, that's what I was dealing with.
Jamie, here's the weird thing. I want to be really humble about this, is that when COVID started, and I've said this multiple times, I did have a blind faith and trust in the institutions of society. Like, I've said it so many times. New York Times, you want to know what's really going on? Read the New York Times. If you want to really know the best science, read the New England Journal of Medicine. If you really want to know how to protect yourself or guide yourself, listen to Dr. Fauci. I've said it 100 times. When COVID started, I looked at Fauci and I thought he was a sympathetic fella doing the best he could with a lot of critics. Jamie, I'm watching what you're doing. You're embarrassed for me. I know you're embarrassed for me, but literally that's where I am.
That's okay. Hey, yeah, but trusting you, you're a doctor.
But the
I started from the simplicity, and as everything that rolled out in COVID, I saw that faith and trust was easily lost to many of us because nothing made sense. Everything seemed to be causing maximal harm. Yeah. Nothing had prudential principle, or like you try to make decisions that have the maximum benefit, the least harm. They were not doing that. Like, let's say hydroxychloroquine didn't work. Why not give it to everyone in just in case? You know, it's like they weren't doing like really obvious, common sense things. And so I would think that the trust and faith would be lost to all, but it's only a few of us who quickly saw that, like, why are we trusting these people? I had trusted them, but I lost it quickly. Like you just said, Jamie, like your family, like literally telling you, like, we trust them, all you and your information, that's harmful, right?
Yep. That's pretty much what they told me. Theo, you were getting it too.
Yeah, but I knew that probably synthetic medicine has been the biggest failure in human history. And, you know, on my healing journey, I'm an indigenous person. That's why I'm wearing my indigenous shirt. And I started hanging around with medicine men and people who made medicine and all of this. And basically what I learned was when you put a synthetic medicine in your body, it doesn't have the right frequency. It doesn't have the right code attached to it because it's a former version of a plant-based medicine, right? But if you put a plant-based medicine in your body knows exactly what to do with it because it's coded properly, has the right frequency, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So when the vaccines came out, I was like, no way, there's no way that I am putting that synthetic contraption in my body whatsoever, because I knew that it wasn't. And when I supposedly got COVID, which I think it was the flu, I called my medicine man. My medicine man brought me medicine and I took it, and within 3 days COVID was gone, or the flu, whatever.
Guess what I took, Theo? Ivermectin.
You took vitamin I? Yeah. I took a little bit of that too. I took a little bit.
Guys,
of that. Hey, guys. No, it was. Listen, folks.
I could sit there for 2 hours. We could have a beer.
I know. You'd be great. But we have some questions. And we do have a time limit here. And we have some questions.
Probably talk for 3 hours in a bar. But let's let our audience ask these guys questions.
All right. First, Eleanor wants to know, are some in sports in Canada now questioning the vaccines and the narrative around the vaccines? Are there any glimmers of ability to think, or just doubling down and still refusing to see? What's the story?
Well, they're all gagged. They're not allowed.
Was that question around the athletes or the federations?
It's about some in sports. It's not clear at which level. Yeah.
I mean, I have not seen any other known elite athletes in Canada. Theo, I apologize if I'm forgetting somebody, but there are some awake, but they're not speaking out.
Yeah, but the doctor's here, right?
Yeah. yeah, they're just too scared or whatever, and they don't want to go down that route because they've seen what's happened to us. If anything, I feel like the federations, like for skating, for example, they're quite woke. Like they're allowing this trans thing to be involved in our sport now. So I'm like, so what? If I'm a pair skater, I have a male partner, and I'm a female. I could potentially compete against two males. Like, are you kidding me right now? So.
Well, I know in the hockey world they are not allowed to speak of COVID vaccines. Nothing. They're not allowed.
Their contracts.
Not allowed.
Okay, here's another question from Laura Emerson. Do you think that Canada, Australia, and New Zealand were more zealous in crackdowns than comparable countries? And if so, why? I think you answered yes to the first part. But why do you think? And she says both why the leadership and why the compliance?
Yeah.
So all the leaders of those countries went to Klaus Schwab's School of Psychopaths. All those leaders all went to the World Economic Forum School of Insanity. And then they became leaders of their countries. Merkel, Macron, Jacinda Ardern in Australia, Justin Trudeau. So, and there's a great video of Klaus Schwab basically saying that half of the cabinet, so there's 338 members who sit in parliament, that half of them are under Klaus Schwab's rule. Yeah. So that's why those particular countries faced the most, what's the word I'm looking for, a phrase? We had the toughest time because of that.
Yeah, as far as being compliant, I just think that I can speak for Canada, that, you know, I think a lot on the world stage, we're known as like the nice people, right? Like everywhere we go and when we traveled, it was like, Canadians are so nice. And we're just so,
you get along.
Yeah. Like, and it's just like, oh, okay. You know? And so I don't know if it's just been a bit of we're even hearing about this, their tools to mind control, and who knows what really exactly what it is, if it's maybe just a bunch of things that's happened. But yeah, everybody that I knew here was just like, oh, let's just get these vaccines so we can all move on. They didn't
get along, that kind of thing.
Didn't really want them.
Whereas Americans tend to be a little bit more punchy and more revolutionary, let's say.
Yes.
Ben.
For sure.
All right. So Arthur also is getting back to the first question, says, are there pockets of professional athletes throughout the provinces in Canada who feel like you do? And are any of them involved in your work? Any of them? No.
Zero.
All silent. All right. Here's a question from a viewer. Can you give us an update on the persecution of the Canadian truckers? Are any incarcerated or going to head to trial?
Well, two have just been recently released on a very much lesser charge, which is absolutely ridiculous. They're going to get exposed, and that is in the Coutts area. There's still two gentlemen that are in. They don't want to take the plea. But the other two that got out took a very lesser charge, which is it's crazy. It's like when this all comes out, our government, it's game over, because they were also, as much as they were blocking a border for a few days and they listened to the RCMP, there's been some really sketchy things that went on down there that the public doesn't know. But we also have two others that are in Ottawa. We got Tamara Leach and Chris Barber, who are on trial, it seems like constantly. And we're all fighting hard for them, but that's it so far. But there's lots of truckers that have charges.
All right, and the justice moves slowly, I gather.
They're being used as pawns, right?
Yeah, so corrupt.
Because Trudeau does not want another uprising, so he's using them to keep people in place and in line, right? They froze bank accounts. So people are afraid of, speaking out.
Yeah, same as day six. The comments are right.
Yep.
I want to say one thing. Like, one of the observations I've made is people's desire to remain employed and preserve their income, the power of that desire, I think, has overwhelmed it. It's literally what keeps the world going and this fraud going. Because when you look at the amount of whistleblowers, there's literally less than a handful from numbers of industries. If you look at professional sports, Theo, you're retired, my friend. What active NHL or any other professional player, like in our country, I can come up with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe there was one basketball player who caused a little bit of trouble. Aaron Rodgers, you have the entire sports leagues. No one's speaking out. And then physicians, we have a million physicians in the United States. And you literally, we're talking about like a handful, like 5 or 10 of us. Well, I mean, I think there's many more who don't get public profiled, but professional professional athletes all have a public
profile. Yeah, Djokovic is another one. That was good.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Djokovic. Oh, he's like, by the way, those are two of my favorite athletes. It's really weird that like three of my favorite athletes of my life, Theo Fleury, Djokovic, and Rodgers, are the guys who stood up.
Yeah.
But it's so tiny.
You picked them well.
Well, and it's, look, they've made examples of you. You two sports stars, you know, celebrities, and Pierre, the outstanding doctor, because of what they've done to you that people can see. Mm-hmm. They're afraid. You know, nobody wants to lose their whole reputation and everything.
I was just going
to
say that.
You know?
Betsy, that was exactly what my ex said to me. He goes, "You realize you're ruining your reputation, right?" And I'm like, "It's the hill I'll die on, because I know exactly what this is all about. And all you care about is your paycheck and your reputation."
And Jamie, your reputation, I think, should be preserved. I mean, you had this incredible achievements. You're a wonderful athlete. For me, I had three daughters. They weren't even in college yet. And I was losing jobs. And like when I lost my job, like the kitchen table conversations were getting a little uncomfortable with my wife. I mean, like, I got to put my kids through college in this country. We don't have free college. It's immensely expensive. And not that I really want them to go to college, but like, you know, it got rough. But again, I got to tell you, my plight was so much better than others, because I had the wonderful organization of the FLCCC to support me, all the people who supported our work. Like, I just got lucky. I mean, all the other doctors who spoke out, stood out, fought back without organizations behind them, they didn't have salaries to fall.
Right.
Yeah. You know what else, Betsy, that's really cool for back. Him?
They didn't have, you know, the support, and they lost their licenses. Those are the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
And you're losing your sound intermittently.
It is what it is.
There are a couple. Here's a comment from Melody, who said, "Thanks to Dr. Corey's voice, when we have it here, and direction, her family was able to keep their sanity and health during these dark times." And they wanted me to reflect on the comment and ask Jamie and Theo who you look to for solace during the pandemic.
During the beginning of it, when we were like not speaking.
I think it was people like Dr. Corey and Dr. David Martin. And, you know, I watched the 13 episodes of The Fall of the Cabal. Right. I was watching
Out of Shadows.
Yeah, I don't even know how many thousands of hours of video I watched during COVID, but, you know, all those people collectively combined, you know, it just resonated with me, and I knew I was doing the right thing. I knew I was doing the right thing by standing up, and as we all know now, with all of the data and everything out there, that, you know, this whole thing was, you know, was planned. And what I got out of the conference in Washington, D.C. was that the government and Big Pharma colluded to depopulate the planet. That's what I got out of it.
You know, I made a comment earlier.
And you know what? Come and debate me, because we have all the stats. We have, you know, some of the smartest minds in the world who've taken all this data, put it together, and explain it to me in a way that I totally and fully understand that the government and Big Pharma colluded together to depopulate the planet. And you're not going to get me off that.
Cat's out of the bag.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was referring to sharing content like Dr. Corey's and Malone and Dr. Martin, all these doctors, right, that were speaking out. And of course, Ed Dowd, another one we met.
Ed Dowd.
Yeah, Ed Dowd. Ooh, he's doing a great job. But this is the problem that we had, was that it wasn't on our local news. It wasn't online, even on our news. It was on alternative media. So they would, as soon as you would send somebody that interview, they wouldn't even listen to the content.
No, they saw where it was. They say, that's not credible. That's misinformation.
There you go. Yeah,
exactly.
That's been the most frustrating thing.
Yes. And they've been very effective at that. And you've got a law up there that would make it even worse.
Yes.
You've got efforts here to try to throw out challenges to what was done.
I'm sorry if my sound is weird. Apologize. I don't know what's going on, but let's talk about something positive. Is that you use the term alternative media, Jamie? Independent media is okay too. Yeah. Independent media is kicking ass.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
corporate-controlled media—they're hemorrhaging jobs. Nobody's listening to them. Viewership is down. They know they're lying. And you know, again, I'm just going to humble myself again. During the Trump years, when he would always say that lamestream media is lying and lying, like I actually didn't believe him. I didn't believe him. I thought he was just like a sore loser.
I know.
And I don't want to talk about Trump, but the fact is, the mainstream media is a propaganda apparatus. I think people are figuring that out, and that's important.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you.
That's why, Betsy, they're bringing in this bill, is because in Canada, they can no longer fool Canadians. Like CBC is going out of business. CTV is going out of business. Global's going out of business. And so the only way that they're going to get this back on track is by throwing people like me, throwing people like Jamie in jail to make an example of us. That's all they have left. And so we are winning the information war.
What exactly is the chance of that bill passing? I mean, what everybody
wants
to know that. Is this for real or just going to go blown away?
No, it's real. It's real. It's very real.
So. And the worst part about this is, like, let's just say that, like, Theo and I go, okay, we won't say any. It doesn't matter. They go to your old information, like old posts, what you've said even in the past. They can go way back. I mean, this is, but the scary thing again is until somebody is personally affected, like someone's knocking on their door to put another jab or taking their kids away or, they will not see this. People here just want to live their life. They just want to blindly live their life. Like if I say any of this kind of stuff is going on, they're like, oh, Jamie, you're still talking about this?
Yeah, I've heard that too. This is the last question because we're over the top of the hour, but there's going to be a comment after that from somebody that's very good. So we will end on a happy note. But this question from Ian Lynch. What percentage of NHL players do you think took the vaccine? And what kind of health issues are you hearing about or think we might see in the future? And as a lifelong Calgary Flames fan here in the U.S., thank you for the 1989 Stanley Cup.
It's right there.
Okay, so what right do you there. Think of NHL players?
Well, go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, okay. So I interviewed a retired police officer in Ontario. And I was shocked. I was like, you can't come on an interview. Anybody like Doc, you were saying even earlier, when you have information, you want to share it, but it's got to be accurate.
Yes.
Well, he came on my show and he said, I know the pharmacist in Toronto. And I think another couple other teams that literally gave them saline.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And I was just like, my jaw dropped again. Like, wow, he just said this. But I thought, well, no wonder they're not dropping on the ice like the soccer players are in Europe.
Like there's not there's been one hockey player who has myocarditis. One guy in the last.
I think there was a goalie too, or something. Theo.
Maybe a couple guys, but there's 700
been a few or whatever. But they're not allowed to say anything. They blame it on COVID. But there's a few guys that maybe didn't get the memo, if you know what I mean. Not to take the shot, but I think, like, I'm sorry, don't tell me.
They bought the passes, right, Jamie? They bought the passes too. So,
well, that's what I'm hearing. We don't have proof of this, but I interviewed somebody that said he knows a pharmacist, and we've all questioned it, going like, how come these guys are okay? And not that we want them to be broken and having myocarditis and dying on the ice. We don't want that, but. Yeah. Why is hockey, like, I just look at, like, even, you know, you got Sidney Crosby and you got
Connor McDavid.
You think these million-dollar players are going to mess with some kind of experimental jab? I don't think so. And yet, in Canada, we as viewers, fans, could not go watch them if we didn't show our passes.
Yep.
So this is where I'm actually quite disgusted. If this comes out, that these players actually did this, like if this is really true, how the public is going to feel about this? You've got million-dollar players that didn't stand up for the right thing. They just didn't. They didn't all come together. They have a union, Theo, no?
Mm-hmm.
And say, we're not taking these. But no, instead they went quiet and did what they did potentially, and the rest of us who pays to see them had to get it.
Pay their salaries, right?
Because the people that are going to these events can't afford these passes.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's
terrible.
It's
crazy. Crazy.
Listen to this. This is an amazing comment from a viewer. Courage is contagious. Thank you to Dr. Corey, the FLCCC, and all the other brave people who have educated me, challenged my belief systems, and are currently helping me heal from my vaccine injury. Mm-hmm. While the COVID vaccine was the worst thing that ever happened to me, it has also led to some of the best things that ever happened to me. I have grown in ways I never imagined possible from all of this. I am 28. And still recovering, but I am awake. Thank you all. Well, I don't think we can end on anything kind of nicer than that. And who knows, Pierre, that could be one of your patients. He didn't say so, but you're treating these folks.
I hope it's a grateful patient, but I just want to say, Theo, Jamie, you guys move me when I listen to you in DC. Thanks for coming down. Thanks for spreading your message and courage. You guys know we're instant brothers and sisters, and we're going to keep fighting. And just thank you for coming tonight.
Aw, well, thank you for having us.
We'd love to have you up here, Doc.
Theo, I'm coming up, man. Send out the invite. I'm going.
Okay. All right. We'll Done. Get Heather. We'll
as long as they don't arrest him at the border. Let him in. You might have to ski in over somewhere. I don't know. Anyway,
we'll be there with our troops.
Thank you. You know, keep up the fight. And truth is important, and we know it was violated and on both sides of the border. And so thank you all for being here. And folks at home, we have a few important things to tell you. So what a tale. You know, it's nice to know we have such great friends and fellow freedom fighters north of the border, but we have friends working hard to fight censorship on this side of the border as well. And this weekend, the Children's Health Defense is hosting a rally to reclaim free speech in front of the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C. Our own doctors, Corey and Merrick, will be speaking there, as well as Del Bigtree, whom we saw in the opening clip tonight, and Mary Holland, President of Children's Health Defense. You can learn more at the link on the screen, and please make sure to share this information with fellow like-minded freedom fighters who may be able to attend the event. Now then, speaking of freedom fighters, the incredible Jenna McCarthy has another Here's a Thought out, and this one shares the personal story of her daughter, going off to college during the midst of vaccine mandates, and finally coming to terms with reasons to remain unvaccinated. You know, it was not just that her mom was crazy, which is what all the family, friends, and relatives thought. No. So it's a learning experience. It's a good story. It's a good story. And she always writes with such humor. Anyway, head over to our FLCCC Alliance Substack to read it or use the link on the screen. Now then, Dr. J.P. Salibi has shared a new episode of Whole Body Health with us. And this one is all about probiotics. What are they? How do they help us? And how can we heal the gut? And why is that so important? Probiotics, they're marketed all over the place. What's important? You can learn it right here. The episode is on our FLCCC Alliance Rumble and Odyssey channels or on the website using the link on our screen. You can find it. Also, some of you in some parts of the world, like here in New Jersey, may be starting to get a bit of spring weather. For others of you, like friends in Canada, well, you know, it's still pretty cold and wintry, but spring is just around the corner, and our online store is full of new springtime designs. So please head over to our supportflccc.store and make sure to use the code LETDOCTORSBEDOCTORS at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Okay, a quick reminder, if you haven't joined our new FLCCC forums yet, it is the perfect place to connect with others, to share information, to find answers to your questions, and to do all of this without the risk of censorship. So head over to flccc.net/forums and register today and get in on the conversation. And with that, let's bring up a wonderful nurse who is there, Samantha Hanks. She has been online all night answering questions. Did you get many, or were people just absolutely stunned to listen to our Canadians? How did it go, Samantha?
Well, we had about 60 questions. So not bad, but lots of good listening, lots of good stories and wanting to be kind of, you know, amongst other like-minded people. And what a wonderful group we have. And like you just said, with the communities page, there were some people wanting to connect, wanting to exchange ideas. And the communities page is a great place to go on the website.
Thank you, Samantha. And thank you for being with us tonight. We really appreciate it. Great to have you here whenever you can do it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And folks, finally, we want to thank you. You know, we're always we're excited to share with you. We launched our Healthcare Revolution campaign just yesterday. And here at the FLCCC, we are dedicated to restoring the doctor-patient relationship, to increasing patient empowerment, and to sharing lifestyle information with all. You help make all of this possible. And through March 26th, your gifts will be matched dollar for dollar thanks to two kind benefactors. So thank you all. And we will see you right back here next week, same time, same place. But first, meet a pharmacist who is very much with us with her My Story. See ya.
My name is Brianna Gregory, pharmacist and physician liaison with Physicians Preference Pharmacy in Texas. And it has been such a pleasure to work with this organization, to partner really with practitioners of FLCCC and with the patients. It has been such a breath of fresh air to come together in a place where medical freedom is allowed, it is talked about, people feel like they are encouraged by these conferences. This is my second year in a row attending this conference. And I can say, hands down, because I attend a lot of conferences every year, that the people here, the vibe, the energy is that people are approachable. That's not just the patients and the attendees, but it's the speakers, it's the practitioners, because the whole goal is to pull together and just help the patient get healthy. That's why we came into medicine in the first place. So I'm so appreciative to help to provide certain patients that have learned about resources through this organization, to give them compounded medications to help them heal again. It has been such a privilege, and I am a huge FLCCC fan now.
Your stories are powerful. They change hearts and minds. Share yours today. Send it in to mystory@flccc.net.